As you can see in your bulletins, we're going to, or at least start the new year with something a little different. So I've added a little page for sermon notes, and it should be pretty easy to follow along because it should be accompanied with a PowerPoint. But this is kind of the first Sunday we tried this, so it might not be real smooth, but you'll have to bear with us. And I think hopefully with full bellies after a good breakfast, we'll be a little bit more lenient or understanding, but breakfast. It's one of my favorite things, and I have to admit, I don't always eat a good breakfast every morning, and I know they say it really sets your metabolism, and it's a really good thing to do, but I don't always do it, and truth be told, the breakfast wasn't the deciding factor in getting my family here, but it was a big help, so, but anyhow, breakfast is an important meal. And it kind of goes along with today's sermon title. And those of you that have read your bulletin and scratched your head, you'll just have to bear with me. As we go through the message, it should become pretty clear. But every breakfast, almost every breakfast, has to have eggs. I mean, they're beautiful. There's so many ways to prepare them, from scrambled to over easy, sunny side up, poached, hard boiled. They're awesome. And then you throw in the pig. And you can mix that right in with the egg, the bacon, ham, sausage. And there's just, I mean, we had some pretty good combinations this morning. So breakfast is a very, it's a good thing. It's a good part of the day. And it gets us set for action and ready for the day. And that's kind of what Romans 12 is about. It's about action. We got to do something now. The first 11 verses of Romans really sets the stage. It helps us to find our faith in Christ. But now that we've found that faith, now we got to do something about it. It's all about what God is calling us to do. But as we start, the very first word in Romans 12. Does anybody know offhand what it is? We've talked about this word quite a bit now. Therefore, exactly. This is the fourth time in Romans that we've seen the word therefore. And each time we've seen it, it's been something very, very, very significant. And so we're going to walk through them first therefores, them first four for a second here. And the therefore, the very first one is in Romans chapter 3, verse 20. And it's the therefore of condemnation. It's the very first time that Paul in his book of Romans is pointing out that as humans that we're condemned because of sin, that we've messed up, we've missed the mark, and Paul is pointing that out with that very first therefore in Romans, the whole chapter, or the whole book of Romans, excuse me. The second therefore is in chapter 5, verse 1. And it's the therefore of justification. And Paul is bringing out in chapter 5 that we are justified, that we can stand in front of God one day, holy and pure, because Jesus died on the cross for us and washed our sins away. We were justified. We first started out as condemned sinners going to hell. And then because of Jesus and Him dying on the cross, that we have now become justified. If we put our faith in God, in Jesus Christ, then we become justified. And I like to look at this kind of as these four justifications, and I might be getting ahead of myself here, but that's okay. I like to look at these four justifications as almost like a walk, as a personal walk through Christianity, through our being born, realizing one day that, yes, we're sinners. That's the condemnation. Those of us that have given our hearts to Christ have gone through this step by step. And we realize we're sinners as the Holy Spirit convicts us of things and points these sins out that we need cleansed of. And then the Spirit will point out to us, and has to us, that we are justified because of Christ. We can be washed clean because of the blood Christ sacrificed on the cross. We are clean and can stand in front of God on our judgment day. But the third one is in Romans 8:1. And that's the therefore of assurance. And I kind of look at this one, and there's a whole lot more theological stuff going on here, but I kind of look at this as anybody that's honest about their Christianity, that wants to be truthful, knows there's ups and downs. There's times where I'm on cloud nine and I will do whatever it takes, but then there's times that it's tough. It's tough to stay the course and to keep focused on God. And Romans 8 is kind of reminding us, it's giving us that assurance that hang in there. God knows what he's doing. Hang in there. It's going to be okay. I got this. We just got to trust God. We just got to trust him. And the fourth therefore, and that's really what we're going to focus on these next few weeks in church here, is the therefore of, I've called it commitment. Another term, dedication. It's the therefore of being 100% committed to God. It's the all in. It's everything about me is committed to Christ. And that's what Romans 12 is all about. And so, without letting the whole cat out of the bag, I'm just going to ask a question. And some of you may have picked up on this already. And this chicken and pig thing, I have to admit, is not mine originally. However, I don't remember where I got it, so I can't give credit to where it's due. But I don't want you to think that it's mine completely. But I'm going to ask you, are you committed like the chicken, or are you committed like the pig? So just think of that as we go through today's message. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Here's that amazing word. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Them two verses, in my humble opinion, are two of the most powerful verses in the Bible. I don't want to say there's not other important verses, but these are the two verses that really set the stage that now that we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we've prayed and asked Jesus into our heart and to lead our lives. These are the two verses that start the then what? Now we've done that, this is where we go from here. It's that jumping all in. It's when you're doing the polar plunge of jumping in the ice water. It's that moment when you say, I'm going, and you just launch. It's the all in, and there's no turning back. But there's three things in these two verses. I'm not going to break it down verse by verse, but there's three important things we can pull out of these verses. And there's three things. The three things in here are three things that, for lack of a better way to put it, three things that we give God. Because he sent his son to die on the cross, and we've done nothing to earn this, and doing this does not earn God's favor. Doing this is part of what the Spirit has called us to do because we're Christians. And the very first is to give your body to God. To give your body. Romans 12, 1, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Offer your bodies to God. Our bodies are God's temple. And when this verse says to offer them to God, it really is, later on in the couple verses there in 1 and 2, it says what we're offering, what we're sacrificing from, and that's the worldly ways of what this world teaches us. And we need to step away from that as Christians and give our bodies to God. We are committed Christians, and we need to keep our bodies holy 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God. And there's lots of places in the Bible where it shows us that God cannot be in the presence of sin. And the Holy Spirit needs a temple that's pure to live in. And I'm not saying that we don't mess up along the way. But when we give our hearts to Christ, we have committed and asked the Spirit to live within us. But it also means that yes, I'm willing to give up things of this world, that I need to keep my body pure, whether it's sexual sin, anything outside of marriage, whether it's illegal drugs or abuse, or it could be a lot of different things. It could even be as simple as doing things that we know are daring that we shouldn't be doing that can bring harm to our bodies. That's one that we overlook a lot. It might be, driving a car 200 miles an hour with no seatbelt on. It just, God has given us these bodies, and as we get older, they're going to fade, they're going to fail from time to time, but our job is to keep them as good as we can because they're a blessing. They're a gift from God. They're what God has given us. And Romans 12:1 is crystal clear, to give your body to God. To give your body to God. And so I'm going to come back to the question. When it comes to giving your body 100% to God, are you the chicken or are you the pig? That brings us to our second point of today. And this is the second thing we give God. And it's right in the passages there. It's give your mind. Give God your mind. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed to the renewing of your mind. Sometimes that's a difficult one. With all the things that we see in our world today, anything that flashes up on TV and all this stuff, it's hard not to have bad thoughts in your mind. And you're kidding yourself if you say that it's easy. Because it's not. It's not always easy. If you watch even regular TV, that stuff gets flashed in front of you all the time. And as we put garbage into our minds, it just embeds in there. I remember back in high school, when I was, I was a freshman, I was the very first class at my high school to take a typing class on an actual computer. The class before me did the old manual typewriters that I don't know how they did it because the thing's always locked up. It looked really, really horrible. I was glad I didn't have to. But our instructor who taught the typing class the semester before with the typewriters is now trying to teach us the computer class. And computers back then, this was in probably 1990, so it was, they were new. Our teacher had no clue even what a computer was, and she's trying to teach it to us. But she said one thing that I still remember to this day, and it's really about the only thing I know computer-wise. But she says, if you put garbage in, that's what you're going to get out. And it's the same thing with our minds. If we put filth into our minds, if we put junk in there, if we're looking at things we shouldn't be looking at, it's going to come out of our mouth. It's going to come out in our lifestyle. The stuff we put in our mind is what comes out. Whether we try to hide it or not, eventually it's going to come out of our minds. And so we need to protect that. We need to work to renew our minds, to control what goes in there, and focus on God. And one of the ways that as I was reading through some of the commentaries, they said to check yourself on this. And I don't know that this is 100% true. This was just something that one of them pointed out, that if you want to know where your mind is, where your heart is, what things you're focused on, look at your pocketbook. See where your money's spent. And if it's all going to things of this world, to shower yourself with things because you need this and you need that, then they said it might be kind of missing the point. I kind of put this as, is your mind focused on Monopoly? Because Monopoly, the game, is all about getting things, getting more. Or is it focused on missional things? And when I say missional things, I don't mean I don't mean is your mind focused on going with Dennis on this missions trip and that we all, being a missionary is all about pounding nails in and helping people. There's a whole lot more to it than that. We can be missional and never leave our couch, never leave our home. It's a mindset and support things, but you can find a lot of times where your heart is, where your mind is by looking at where your finances are spent. And one more way to work on renewing your mind, if you're not sure where you're at, is to focus, to start this New Year's resolution that I'm horrible at. I don't even try to do them. But if you like them and you want to give it a shot, try one at spending more time in Scripture, in reading the Bible. And I don't mean, you know, they have these things that you can read the Bible in a year, and that's all well and good. I'm okay with that. But sometimes it's about slowing down and spending time in Scripture. You know, we can read these two verses for today in less than a minute and move on with our lives and never get out of it what God is put in there for us to recognize and to understand. And so part of renewing your mind is praying, God, as I read your word, help me to slow down. Help me to meditate on these words that you've placed here and help me to understand what you're revealing to me through these words. Help me, God, to renew my mind. So when it comes to your mind and renewing your mind, are you 100% committed? Are you the chicken or are you the pig? So this brings us to our third point of the day. And the third point is to give God your will. And we're going to kind of back up for a second, and then we're going to move into that. But verse 2, after it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, goes into you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. And so if you look at the first two, if you give God your body and you give God your mind, then you will be able to recognize what his will is for you in your life. But what that tells me is if God don't have your mind and God don't have your body, you're not going to know what God's will is for you. No matter how hard you try to figure it out, you got to give God your body and your mind, and he will reveal to you his will for your life. And that is very, very important. And we could spend another 2 weeks in that very little bit right there about God's will for you in your life. But I'm going to kind of skip past that. We're going to go to the point where if you've given God your body and your mind, and you can recognize and you know where God is calling you, what his will is for you in your life, can you take that to the next step, what he's calling you to do, and give your will over to God and do what he wants instead of what you want? And I'm going to be quite honest and frank here. For me, this was the hardest one. This was by far the hardest one. And I think it probably is for most of us if we're honest with ourselves. Because I remember years back, you know, I was faithful to God, faithful to my wife. My mind was focused on him. I was doing good, and I knew what he was calling me to do, to step out into ministry. I knew it without a doubt. There was no doubt in my mind. And so what did I want to do? Okay, God, that sounds great. Let's do that. But I'm not going to move, and I put all my stipulations on it. And I'm going to do this, and okay, so open these doors for me, and then I'll do whatever you want. That's not how it works. That's where I messed up and went wrong. And let me tell you, in my life, when I was at that point, when I knew what God was calling me to do over here, and this was what I wanted to do, and I wasn't willing to come clear over to what God wanted, that was the most miserable time in my life. I was not happy. There was not joy. I was miserable. And I would be willing to guarantee that that will hold true for each and every one of you, that if you know what God is calling you to do, yet you're not willing to do it, you're probably not going to be real pleasant in life. You're probably not going to experience God's joy and his blessings. Because I think it's one way that God uses, at least for me he did, he used me to get off my butt and to go do what he wanted me to do. But once I gave in, this was the best part. It was like almost instant. Once he broke me down to my very bottom, and I said, okay, obviously I don't know what's best. You do, God. That's when the joy started flowing in. And I could smile, and I knew I was on the right track. That's when the blessing of God was just felt in my life. And I bet we all know people that are like this, or it might even be you. Might even be somebody in here that you know God is calling you to do something. And it might be something huge, or it might be something small. But for you, even a small thing for some people is big. We all have our differences. And those things that we might think are small to somebody else is huge. And so as you give that over to God, look for support in your community of believers. And if somebody comes to you for support in something God is calling you to do, please support them. Please be supportive. That's the best thing you can do. But we can't talk about God's will without, I can't talk about anyhow without throwing this disclaimer out there, that God's will never go against what Scripture teaches us. And I've heard it, not in here, please don't think that, but I've heard people say, well, God wants me to leave my wife. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. God wants me to go do this. No, he doesn't. If it goes against Scripture, it is not God's will. That is one way of testing what his will is. What his will is. And I think we can all, at least for me, it was easy to give God my body. And to give my mind over to him. But when it comes to his will, it can be very difficult. And even Jesus, who was fully human, experienced this to a point. And those of you that have, around Easter time, this passage always comes up. And it's a very, very important one, especially when we're talking about God's will. But when Jesus is in the garden, knowing he's about to be arrested, tried with a fake trial and hung on the cross, knowing what's coming, he's in the garden praying to God. And he said, if there's any way, please take this cup from me. He knew the suffering that was coming. He knew what was about to take place in his life. And he didn't want it. He didn't want it there. But then he finishes his prayer with something very, very important and very profound. He says, not my will, but yours be done. That's a hard statement to make. That's hard for each and every one of us. And if you're at that point, all I can say is go for it. Give it to God. Give your will to him. And he will take care of you. And so as we look at body and mind and will, if we're missing one of those three, then we're missing the mark that God has called us. We're missing what God has called for us. And we need to work to being on the mark, on target for what God wants of us. He wants our body, he wants our mind, and he wants our will. And that's 100%. That's giving God 100% total commitment. That's being all in. And so I'm going to go back to the chicken or the pig. When it comes to breakfast, we have eggs. And if you think about it, the chicken is a part of our breakfast. But the pig is all in. The pig has given its life for breakfast. Are we that willing to give our lives 100% all in to God? Are we willing to be like the guy in the story I started the service with? Knowing your family's going to turn your back on you, are you still willing to go all in and follow Christ? And I can promise you, if you do, if you haven't, and you get to that point, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, I'm not saying everything from then on is easy and life is all full of rainbows and butterflies. That's not the case. We're all human. We all live in a world full of sin. We all face tough days. But them tough days are just bearable and a little bit easier because God is with us. And recognizing and understanding that He knows best will put a smile on your face. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I just thank you and praise you at this moment. And Lord, we just pray that you'll open our hearts. And if we're not 100% committed, and I pray, Lord, that you will give us the Spirit to change that. Open our hearts and our minds to being completely focused on you and recognize and being able to recognize what you call us to do and who you call us to be. Lord God, we thank you for this day and all the blessings in our lives. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.